did that I start? Yes? Okay. Let's start it here too. Good afternoon, everybody. It's a pleasure to be back in Berlin for the Linux Tag. I was last year also here for a presentation of IPv6. But this year is about Linux disaster recovery. So, Linux disaster recovery best practices with Relax and Recover, abbreviated RIR. By the way, my name is Gracien Daas, I'm from Belgium. Who am I? You can see I'm a senior, literally, and using very long time Unix and Linux since its invention, 91, so that's a very long time. I have been involved in several open source projects already. Perhaps some of them already heard about NKCDirect, that's now defading a bit in favor of RIR. But I've been involved in other projects like SIM installation and logging. That's for HPSIM on HPX effect. And another smart project, Adocracy, which is in fact using expect language to do things on hundreds of systems simultaneously. Okay. When I'm talking about relax and recover, we have to distinguish between two type of disasters. You have the business continuity, and that is the process from a crash or whatever until the business is restored. A disaster recovery process is, in fact, a small part of a business continuity process. That's very important to understand the difference. And in this talk, we will focus on the disaster recovery of a very small part. In our talk, especially about Linux. I come to this point here. Put the cursor aside. The disaster recovery concerns are, there are four major concerns. It's about uptime. That has to be fast. That's the big concern. Oops, let's go on. That's not what I wanted. Let's go back. It's going the wrong direction. I removed my key. It's playing with my feet. I don't want that. I have to talk faster. I was here, disaster recovery. I was at this slide. The uptime is very important, and it has to be reliable, of course. If your procedure is very weak, your chain is as strong as the weakest part. It's also in disaster recovery, very important. You have to practice it to find the weakest spot. The cost in disaster recovery plan can be very, very expensive. I've been in several years in disaster recovery exercises, not only for Linux, but also for HPX and stuff like that, business continuity processes. It can be very, very expensive. Relax and Recover, which we will use, is a low cost. It's open source, but doesn't mean it's still playing with my feet here. What is it doing? I never had it before. Come on. And a lot of disaster recovery processes tend to be very complex, and we try to avoid it. That's also a key. Relax and Recover, you can download it. It's free. The URL is there. The official sources are at GitHub. You can download it. The second URL, the snapshots, that will be done tomorrow, the official ones, because it changed from SourceForge Subversion to GitHub. And the official source is over there. It doesn't work either. I will use this. It's over there. It's again for us. You continue. To install it, you have to use a yum install. You need some dependencies, like SysLinux is a very important one. If you're using Intel-based operating systems, and if you want to use backup towards NFS, you need NFS utils or Samba, civutils, and so on. Okay. This light is also a very important one. You have to decide on a backup strategy. The backup strategy, do you want to use NUTAR as your backup medium, or do you want to use rsync? And you have then the official open source backup programs like Bacala, or you have even commercial backup programs. You can integrate it into Rear. What the hell? My computer is really giving... I never had this before. I really don't understand it.
From the time.
Yeah.
You took the time. So when you start the presentation by the menu, not by the button, by the menu, you should click like don't advance automatically.
Yeah, somewhere in it. Slide pane.
Slideshow. Three to the right.
Oh, sorry.
Right. In the topmost menu. View insert.
Oh, sorry.
View insert. From it to the slideshow.
Yeah.
In the topmost menu?
Yeah. View?
Two to the right.
Two to the right? To the right?
Yeah. One more.
And two rows. Yeah. I don't see it's right, so.
Right.
I hear this here, yeah.
And I think settings. And then there is timing.
Okay. Default.
And then there was reverse timing setting for the next menu. In the top.
No, I don't understand it. Okay, let's try it. Can't be worse than now, Okay. By this time, you probably all downloaded it already. Okay. If not, here is the official sources. And tomorrow we will put via OBS all the repositories over there. But in Fedora, Apple, and Slash, it's already official pushed, and you can really install it by Yum or by Zipper. All right. Back to here, Fedora 17, which will be released tomorrow, hopefully. You can just do a Yum install Rear, and then it will also automatically install all the dependencies. However, I said SysLinux is an important one that you should do manually because not every operating system needs SysLinux. And this is depending on which kind of backup mechanism that you will use. If you're using an NFS disk, you need NFS utilities, Samba, Civ utilities, or rsync. Mostly these kind of things are available, or just do a Yum install and you have it done. Also, do not forget the open secure shell stuff, but that should be standard. Again, come back to this slide. An important thing here is making some decisions on your disaster recovery. The program which you will use to take backups is very important. That's a major decision that you have to take. Will you use the standard NUTAR? You can use STAR, for example, is also a possibility. Okay. Or rsync is a validate candidate, or then real backup programs like Bacala, or even commercial programs like, for example, NetBackup, Tivoli, Data Protector are there. Of course, if you select, you have selected one of these, then you have to, well, if you select Bacala of commercial backups, then you don't have a choice effect, and you're using their mechanism to make backups. But you still need to make a decision where you want to put your bootable image. And that can be on an NFS share, SIF share, USB disk, a local disk, or even a file. Or a remote location, of course, over the network. Another decision is the rescue image that will be created by relax and recover. That should be something on certain media. And the media can be an ISO image, CD-ROM, or a tape. So the one button disaster recovery, bootable tape is a possibility, or over the network via Pixie or USB disk. And you can boot these days also from the USB disk. So you have a total solution at once. The backup types. I will focus today on the NetFS mainly for simple reason. There are so many backup types. Here are some a few of them. NetFS is in fact a collection of different type of backups like NFS, SIFS, USB tape. We put those four together and we call them net file systems by way of speaking. Of course, then you have the rsync possibility. You can use your mechanism to just use rsync program to copy your data of your operating system and your user data to a remote location. Or you can even say, okay, I don't want it. I just want that my image recreates a system and just ask to restore it myself. That's a possibility on this line. And then, of course, we have, again, the backup programs, open source and commercials. And there are still some not integrated yet, like the Legato stuff. So if somebody is willing to donate some code for integration, it's mostly welcome. And also booting and storing also backup on a local DVD is not yet done, but okay. Like I said, I will focus today on the NetFS type. On the NetFS, or within the NetFS backup type, you can use ISO Linux, in fact, but then that's to make an ISO image, okay? Or if you want to boot over the network, then you require to use Pixie Linux. And for tape, we use X Linux, so that means that the USB drive will have to be formatted with an X3, X4 file system format, and that the output is USB, but the NetFS backup, so it's NetFS, that's a collection, and the output is USB, but then we will also put the backup and the bootable image on the USB disk. So there, so ISO on tape, well, it can be NFS, SIFS, local, or the tape drive with the one button disaster recovery, USB, or the Pixie over the network. And to define this effect, there's a simple way. You have a backup equals NetFS, but then you have to make a decision on your location, and that you do with the backup underscore URL definition. And again, you see the philosophy, file, NFS, SIFS, USB, tape. Quite simple. And the location, of course. If you use NFS or SIFS, you have to make sure that your root of your client is capable of writing on the remote server into that directory that you are defining there. So that you have to test in front. If you don't test it, Rio will complain and stop. So it's also a test, of course, but okay. Backup NetFS. Where do you define those stuff? The most default configuration is stored in that configuration file here. It's not the purpose that you change something in there. If you want to change something, you have a local configuration file, which is stored in /etc/rear/local.conf. So you just copy the variable and redefine it as you wish. But in the default configuration file, you find your common definitions effect. Default program is tar, and the default compress option is gzip. But you can change it. I have played, I think it was last year, with different compression programs with tar, and that is a effective result. And that proves to me that gzip is a very good candidate as the most capable. It's not the fastest one, but it's not the slowest one, and it is quite good in compression. But again, the choice is yours, in fact. As I said, the local configuration file, and by default, there's not much in it. That's the default ISO for the output and module here, but okay, that's not so important, it's only for VMware. If you decide that you use a NetFS as a backup mechanism, you have to add backup NetFS and also the backup underscore URL, which is the location and the mechanism. The mechanism here is NFS and the location. On the NFS server, the host name will be created automatically. That's under the path here. It will be created automatically. So you can, in fact, make backups of different systems on the same NFS server, and it will have differentiated between different subdirectories. If you want to start with rear, it's a very good choice as first command to do a rear dump once you have filled in your local configuration file. Then you will see an overview of your operating system, but also of the configuration file and of the backup types and the output. That gives you a very good indication what rear will do as once you start using it. Rear has help functionality. The debug mode is very interesting if you run into problems. If you want to send something to the mailing list to us, always use minus D here. The minus S simulation mode is very interesting, but I come back to that later. And there are verbose. If you want to see something by default, rear is not verbose. So if you type rear, make rescue, make backup, it will just start. You will see nothing. You have to use the minus V flag to see something, really. And the reason why is because making rescue images is something that you want to do in the background. Right? You don't want to sit in front of your screen and waiting until that is finished. Again, the commands of rear, you have the options here and the commands. What do you want to do with rear? If you want to make just a rescue image, it's make rescue. If you want to make a rescue image including a backup, is make backup. And then, of course, to recover, you use the recover. Now, recover is not meant to use on live system, but you do that on the disaster recovery system. Huh? And you have other options as well, but for the moment, we keep to these two. Okay, disaster recovery process in practice, how does it work? In rear, it's just using a procedure, in fact. We gather first the information of the system. We write it somewhere in a safe place. Also the disk layout and all the different file system types are stored in a file. It's kind of bootloader. It's all kept aside. Then we make a backup or rescue image. We create a bootable rescue medium, and it will be copied to the remote location, which is defined in the backup URL. And most important, it's all done online. So you don't have to go offline. You can do it on the production system, in the background, in cron, whatever, and it works. And you can do it as often as you want it. Okay. The first command, make rescue, that's a good candidate to start with, just to test if the ISO image or whatever image that you are using is able or booting your system or your capable equal system. If the output was ISO, then it will create under the /tmp an ISO image of rear dash and your hostname. Also on the NFS server under the path hostname you will find the same file, so it is copied from the stored on the local system but also on the remote system. And it will create the disk layout configuration file automatically. So that's a file that is not existing if you install rear from scratch. You have first to run it once, and then you will create a disk layout configuration file. That's the how the system is looking alike on the disk configuration. You can try to boot the ISO image on the system. It can be the local system if it is a test system or another system. But just inspect if the kernel is able of booting it, and you can find all the devices. It could be important, always practice in front before you do a real disaster recovery test. According to that, you can add extra modules, but in most cases, that's not necessary. The last years, I think Rear is copying almost all models that we need and more. But in some cases, if you have a complete different type of hardware that you want to booting on, that could be useful to test it and see what's missing, which module is missing, and then you can test module add and etc. Okay, the Rear Mac backup is exactly the same as make rescue, but there is also a backup of your OS made and the data. You can exclude certain volume groups, for example, because I can imagine that in a SAP application environment that you don't want 10 gigabyte or 2 terabyte being backed, which is already backed by another program, commercial program. So you want to stick to the OS, then you can include only VG or exclude VG. Okay, very good point that you have to look at is the log file. At each creation that you run Rear, there's a log file created. Always have a look at it, because sometimes there is an error in it that you missed if you run it in the background. Quite important. The recovery process, that's in fact the reverse, but you do it on another system. You boot from the ISO image that you created before, and you wait until you have the prompt, and then you say re-recover, and then it will recreate your file systems, repartition your hard disk first, recreate file systems, and mount it. Once the file systems are mounted, then the restore will happen onto it. And that depends, of course, on the backup type that you have chosen. If it's a TAR, it will use TAR, or sync, or commercial programs, or non-commercial backup programs. And it will do some other things, of course, like labeling, recreate a swap. And, of course, once everything is done, the bootloader, because you want to boot. And when it's finished, it will stop and give you a prompt. You still have the possibility to inspect your restored system. Everything that which is restored is under the /MNT/local. So the MNT local is in fact the root, original root of your system. You can expect the FSTAP file, the host file, or the network configuration. Rear will try to make sure that your network configuration is all right, so the kind of MAC addresses will be put correctly, which are new. They will be readapted in the configuration files of your restored system. Same is true with the unique user IDs of your disks, if you use BetterFS, for example. If you're sure it's working, reboot, and you will soon know if it's working or not. For example, this is a screen dump of a recover of a Rear process. This is the Fedora 17, which hopefully will be released tomorrow. So you just select the recover. And you see at the bottom here, I don't know, it's very clearly the method that you're using. For example, it says here, backup is NetFS, output was ISO, and backup URL was NFS and something here. I hidden the customer's URL. Okay, you wait until you get a boot prompt, the login prompt, of course, what I meant. You just type root, there's no password attached, so you get a prompt. Next point, you just say Rear minus V recover. Minus V is to have verbose, otherwise I wouldn't have seen these things. Important here, what I highlighted here is this was a recovery exercise on the same type of hardware, same type of disk, so it was identical. It's very easy to restore, and you will have no prompt, whatever. It will just continue. At the last point here, it is finished. It tells you no errors were reported, and you can explore it under the /MNT local directory. That is on the next slide. If you do, you will see it here. This is the restored system. What else can I say about this? Not much, if everything seems okay. You can do a lot of commands, like VG display or whatever. You just reboot it. Then it will take a while, because once the new system comes up from this file systems here, it will do a relabeling of as a Linux. For the moment, we disable as a Linux at the moment that we take a backup, and we force a relabeling at the recover time. So that will take a minute or two, and then you have the login prompt, and you can just log in. So simple as that. Rear is also capable of doing cloning, because the system that you're using to restore on does not have the same capacity of disk as different type of hardware. It has to be the same type of hardware. Right? So you cannot restore an Intel-based to a Nintendo, for example. Right? That's to make that clear. Huh? So cloning meant, what I mean with cloning is a different, let's say, a different kind of disks or memory and stuff like that. It will notice that and will ask you here on this menu, okay, I found different type of disks. Which kind of disk will you want to use to restore on? And you just select one. Then we go into an interactive menu. Once you did this, it will tell you the disk layout. Please investigate, because the layout of the original disk is not the same as the this new disk effect. So you have to view it, and you have options here. Always do a view to inspect it. If you are not 100% sure, you can continue. This is a view. That is a disk layout file, how it looks like. You have definitions for the disk partitions, file systems, and the swap. Okay, if you don't understand that much, then I can only say just do the recover exercise. That will automatically create another script, the disk restore script, that you see here. You can also view it. You can see it on the next screen. This is a real script. You can just scroll with the VI editor, and you can see if everything looks fine to you. If you're not sure, I would say just continue. It will tell you if it's not something not working. Yeah. In this example, you see an error happened. It's not fatal. You have to look at the log file. So the log file is always stored here. In the menu, you select the log file of rear. You can really see what's happening. And if you look carefully, you will see in this line that the size did not match anymore because it was a smaller disk. So to create a logical volume, there was not enough space left. So what you have to do is to edit the script and just replace the original size to the new size. But this is the worst case, I'm telling you, this cloning. So it's not always true. It's just to give you an example that it is possible, but it is not always automatically just readjusted. All right. You just continue after you edit the disk restore script, and then you will see that the backup should continue. In this case, it was just a stupid exercise. I'll just give you an example. It will stop. I ask myself why. It prompts you to a cell prompt. And you see, if you look at the configuration file, you will see output is ISO. There was nothing defined for backup. So how can you restore if you don't have a backup? So you always have to think. That's quite important for disaster recovery anyway. If you don't have a backup, you cannot restore. But it gives you a pleasant example of cloning. Right. I hope you're convinced that you can make Rear better. And to help you with that, we have added an option, which is simulation, the minus S. That gives you a deeper insight in how Rear is working. You can do it for the make backup and the recover. You can do it, in fact, for every command. Then you see the logic of the program. So we have one main script. It's called user sbin rear. And all the other scripts are very tiny. And we keep it in separate flows. And it's under the user share rear. And then you have the different flow. But I'll come back to that later. Very important is, everything is written in the bash. So it's written for system administrators by system administrators, by way of speaking. So everybody should be able to read it, understand it, and at least write something. I will give you later on in the presentation a small example. This is the make backup flow. These are the different directories which are, if you do an ls under the /user/share/rear, you will find different directories like here. The configuration directory, where all the configuration files are stored. And you will read the same configuration files in the recover mode as backup or rescue mode. It's very interesting, right? I think so. The preparation work is done here. The layout of your disks is done here. Then you have the rescue, where you want to make your investigation of your network, of your disk, and then disk not anymore, but the storage. Here you have the build, where you build the RAM disk for the rescue image effect. There's a pack subdirectory where you create, where you build, put ever all the stuff that you have created or collected in one collection directory to create an ISO image, because in this case. And that's copied also to the output URL. If you, you can use a different output URL than the backup URL. If the backup URL is something and you don't define the output URL is the same as the backup URL. But it can be different. Some customers are using different locations for storing the ISO image. And then, because we're using the make backup flow, also the backup will happen under this directory. So there are always scripts under it. You just have to browse it, and then you will see the flow effect. The recover is effect the same logic, configurations. We set up stuff, we verify stuff, we check if a recovery is possible at all. For example, if you try to recover a system via NetBackup, for example, on a system, but there is no network server available, it will complain, and that's done in the verification part. So these are scripts which are created and sitting there. The layout prepare is to recreate your file systems and disk stuff. Then the restore stuff to finalize the grub stuff, for example. And wrap up is to recover that you copy the log files to the restored system under the mount local root. To give a small example, I created, one of the customers created a sys requirement script. This is in fact a very stupid script that collects the minimal basis of the original system, the amount of disk, for example, the amount of CPUs, disk size, stuff like that, and the IP addresses. Not much fancy on it. If you have a script that does this and that works, if you try that and it works on the bash, for example, then you can copy it. A good location here is the rescue, because it's affect information from the original system. You put it in a flow directory. Rescue is a good choice. It's GNU Linux, and we call it a number, because every script starts with a numbers in the rear, because if you use a simulation, then you will understand it. But 96 is quite at the end, so it's not a very important script. Oh, oops, that was too fast. If you do the minus S rescue and you grab it, you should be able to see it. Then you will see that the script is picked up by the rear process. So it will be executed. If you run it, and then it will create a file. In this case, you have to look at the source script, of course, to see where the file was. It is stored here, and it contains some information that is required for the disaster recovery site. If the images and the backups are restored via NAS, for example, to another continent, operators are very lucky to have such a stupid text file that gives them a simple information of which system should be restored and which kind of hardware should be restored on. Okay. I hope that you don't need it, but if you need it, we have on GitHub an issues. This is a live example from yesterday. You can, if you have an account on GitHub, you can just make your own entries And we use that to track every every request and fixes, trying to link it automatically with the sources. That's the end of my main talk. Again, here are the locations. This is the mailing list still at SourceForge. There are four main contributors for RIR, and we are all here today and tomorrow at Linux Tech. You will find a booth, and it's number 105, and you can find us there. So if you want to talk to us, if you have any questions, please come over. Also very important, tomorrow at 10 o'clock, we have a workshop, and then we can go deeper into how RIR is working. So we can explain it more in depth, all the steps, and we can solve the scripts, explain the scripts, and all the questions that you have, you can ask there. And we will also have an hour or 30 minutes or so discussing on the next roadmap of RIR Effect. So if you have input, please come over. Tomorrow, 10 o'clock, it's a workshop. It's one of the other buildings, I think. But you are very welcome. If you have any questions, it's now the chance you have. Yes.
Do I have to register for the workshop somewhere?
No. You can just come over. It's on the official agenda, so you will see it. It's tomorrow at 10 o'clock until 12 o'clock. Yeah. Any more questions?
What is the normal size you expect to back up? We have already heard you don't expect to back up, let's say, 200 gigabytes or whatever. What is the normal size, we would say?
200 gigabytes of your VG00, for example, of your plain OS, that's quite big. Huh? Normally it's, you can, if your main operating system is, let's say, 4 gigabytes of 8, take 8, then I think the complete backup would be around 4, I think, or maybe less. I have a small demo here. Let's see if I can show it. No, it was. Where was it? That's always the problem here. Here it is. Let's see if it works. Was not good. Well, on our website, there's a small presentation. Oh, here it is. Small video. That gives you, in less than 4 minutes, a complete backup and restore. So it's not the biggest system that we used, to give an example, but it is a live make backup and recover. So with less than 4 minutes, you have a complete overview. Again, it won't show you all the details, but okay, it gives you an indication of how powerful it is. But the main advantage of Relax and Recover, in my opinion, is its simplicity. You don't have to know a lot of commands. And if you want to give it over to an operator, the operator should be able to give one type of command, recover, that's it. And it should work. I think we succeeded in that goal because we have quite a lot of customers, commercial customers, who are using Relax and Recover as their main disaster recovery process. And one pharmaceutical company, for example, they're using RIR as an exercise when they deliver a new system. It has to be proven that it can be recovered as part of the infrastructure qualification documents. Okay, so that's the possibilities. We try to keep it simple as possible. RIR is not a backup program. It's not a backup. It includes the backup, but it's a snapshot of a certain time. If you need something else, there are other backup programs to do it on a daily basis. But again, if you would use, for example, rsync, and rsync can be used to a local disk, but can also be used to a local network, then the backup method should then be rsync, then you should be able to do also RIR make backup only on a daily basis, and then it will only do the incrementals, in fact, or the differentials. But it's not meant as a backup program. It can be used for it, but it's, I don't advise it as a backup. It's really disaster recovery, and it is meant as a disaster recovery. Okay, you can see here the live demo is going on. It's almost finished, I think. Any other questions? No, if there are not any other questions, then I hope to see you all on the workshop tomorrow, or at least stop by on the booth today, tomorrow, or the day after, and have a little chat. We are always open for ideas, things we are missing, and if there's really something missing, we do have a sponsorship. Eh? So if you want to us to write something, you can sponsor us for it. That's no problem. Thank you all for the attendance, and I have you a pleasant stay in Linuxtag and all the presentations. Thank you.